forgot about that. I already started some drafts for an episode there in Swedish, Radio Krishna 101 or Radio Krishna somewhere, about astrology, and I think I move it over here, at least try that, see where it ends up. And I thought I could add something to that. Well, Srila Prabhupada wrote letters to his disciples telling them not to get into astrology.
Yeah.
Well, he got his astrological charts made also now and then, but I guess it was mainly just someone offered their services and or disciples talking them into it, and Prabhupada accepted it as a kind of, you know, serving the devotee, they maybe make some advancement thing as a gift or so. So he of course dealt with that politely and nicely and positively, not condemning that astrologer or something or his work. And of course he accepted astrology as an advanced old science. But then at the same time he said, he says, I don't indulge in that, you know, like, I guess that may have first of all meant that don't bother becoming astrologers. Maybe also don't bother going to astrologers. I don't know which, but in any case, that I can just say now, speaking for myself, that I agree with that and I understand it that way. Now those who want to go to astrologers and want to be that, you know, it's up to you. But I'm just saying my point of view here. I guess I mentioned it before, but I once read a very nice little book. I mean, novel style, but apparently written by a theosopher or so, you know, containing the wisdom that you find there in ancient cultures. And the book was even claimed that it was spoken from the other side, which I thought was very interesting. It's called Some Människor, den Tvinnas, or something like that. I put the link to it here down. Maybe it only exists in Swedish. And there was this wise man, and between their lives, the main characters of the book met in the other world. And this wise man was living in a beautiful place, house somewhere in the mountains or something. So they visited him and he said that regarding looking into the future, that is not meant for you to do, because you're simply supposed to live day by day the life here or down there. And learn by putting stone on stone, or whatever you call it in English. At lägga sten på sten, meaning building your life, your destiny, yourself, your character, piece by piece, stone by stone, and to learn from every step. So if you just, you know, get up there and try and look from above and see the future, then you're kind of missing out on something. It's like you are at a beautiful concert, but you want to go backstage, meet the, or a theater play, but rather than enjoying that play, you want to go backstage and meet the actors and the engineers and, you know, the director, all of that. You want to be more on that level. But you're supposed to be in the audience. You're supposed to be the ones that this play is written for, is made for. For all of you living here, so you can have a nice adventure, which of course depends on your choices made by your own free will. So that was kind of the understanding I got, and I also feel like that. Sometimes there are friends of mine, people around me who are into astrology. They call themselves astrologers, and some have studied science for many years. Forty, 50 years. And then they sit there with their numbers and calculate and look in books and ask them their own intuition and subconscious, you know, these. I mean, I just have the, it's a theory, but got it kind of confirmed by somewhere into this divination and astrology and all that. That yes, there is a mathematical science there, understanding the positions of planets and how they influence each other, and the squares and trines and sixths and all that, and the houses and. Yeah. The zodiac. And of course there is something there, something very interesting. But I just have the feeling now that what makes an astrologer good is when you can take all those pieces you get there and get an intuitive answer to the question someone asks you. And I thought not much differently than tarot, for instance. These kind of you can call them divination methods. And I happen to have a kind of a, I don't know if I should call it natural talent, but I can relate to tarot, although I just read something about it and definitely tried it a bit and got very interesting results, but I don't consider myself some, you know, card wizard. But that's my theory, that down there, ultimately, what happens is that you connect deeper into that intelligence level, where intelligence is also collective and very brilliant, and you can actually, and you know, just beyond this physical world that we see through our gross senses now, there is the subtle world, the astral world, the other world. And just by being able to connect to that, or rather being, I guess you can say today, maybe especially, making yourself sensitive and wise enough to receive that inspiration coming from there, with others trying to help us. Well, I mean, I think that this is the level that you kind of try to connect to when you're doing these things, and that those who do it well are connected to. So I'm not doubting the science itself, but, well, I'm doubting, or I suspect, yes, that many of those who call themselves astrologers actually have a very rudimentary understanding of what it is. And also, if they, which, you know, Western people especially today can be, they are kind of coming from a background maybe in mathematics or whatever, that is, yes, very much focused on mathematical and logical solutions. Because of this and this and that, and look, here's this angle and that, trying there, and look, yeah, look in the book. I mean, it's like you're going through a procedure, process. I mean, I there are of course websites where you can, some AI make those charts for you. But I would say that what you can get from that is just the table there with all the cards and things. And then you look at that pattern. And yes, what's fascinating is that the pattern often, for me more often than not, says something. There's more than randomness there. So yeah, but the question then is this something we should really be much concerned with and spend a lot of time with? I mean, you can also spend your time with making money in different ways, and of course those astrologers often do it for making money. You charge for this, just as therapists do, and So we have to see that reality also included here. But you know, what do you really want by doing it? And in which way does this benefit the person you do it for, or for yourself if you do it for yourself? And especially for devotees, and I'm speaking for myself here now, I just try in my life, and I did it for the past 50 or 45 plus years or so. I'm just, you know, constantly basically begging God, please just use me. Let me do what you want me to do. Inspire me from within. If I do something wrong that you don't want me to do, then please, please lead me right. You know, this very personal approach to God. And I mean, that's what I did when I was 22, sitting in my kitchen, in my apartment, my artist apartment in Söder of Stockholm. And I could experience directly and definitely that some guidance started to, that I was guided. It became easier, and almost as if things fell synchronistically into place more and more. And I could see the hand of God involved in it. I remember thinking so, and I thought, but maybe I'm just imagining all of this. Well, I mean, I wasn't into drugs, you know, not even pot or any psychedelic, but meditating and just trying to be connected to the higher reality beyond this, because I was then convinced that there is a higher reality beyond this limited gray one, which is populated by same people like us, but with different bodies. Bodies that are invisible to us. So then I could, as far as I am concerned, clearly experience the presence of such a person in my room. Not, you know, by seeing light or seeing some physical form or visual form or whatever, or hearing voices, but very subtly, as when you may sit in a room and then all of a sudden you feel that someone stands behind you or next to you, don't you? That feeling. But stronger than what I felt when, you know, ordinary people were standing next to me or behind me, but in front of me, in a very, very friendly and kind and loving way. And I got that simple but deep, deep, deep message that, you know, from now on, you're taken care of. You don't need to worry. And I just felt, yep, this is true. And regarding my doubts, that maybe all of this, you know, I'm just imagining and all, I'm imagining all this. Yeah, maybe, but I then decided that, yes, I will now trust you, that you lead me, that you guide me, because that's kind of what I got included there in that message, that, you know, you can trust me. So if you trust God, although you are on a complete beginner level there in your relationship to God, you know, and just leave it up to God to lead you, to guide you, to show the way, then when you are there in a kind, some kind of crossroad or situation where you have to decide which way to go in your life, and well, for me it was then easy because I felt that one of those gates to go to choose between was brighter and felt much better and how to say, more real, making sense. So I just stepped through that one, and then I realized, oops, that was the right one. Yeah, now it works. And it was like the one guiding me there from within the heart, as I learned Paramatma, Super Soul, all that we learned in the Bhagavad Gita, was there. Yeah, of course. And then I saw same for the other devotees. We lived there in the temple in New Radhakund, and we often spoke like that. Oh, Krishna's arrangement. Oh, I tried this, but Krishna smashed me. And yes, look at what we just did. That's Krishna's mercy. I heard it all the time. And yes, some just adapted that as a kind of lingo. We have to use those expressions to show that we are real fixed up devotees. But, I mean, me and my friends, we said it, we experienced that for real. I mean, I guess that still is so for devotees, isn't it? Look, Krishna, we've saved me here. And the more, you know, we'd make our stupid choices, often then, of course, based on our material desires, as we call it, you know. I do this because I want to maintain my position. I do this because I want a woman or a man, or I want this, I want that. And there, it's down there, you know, this kind of ambition for one thing or another. But if we can just let go of that, or rather just focus on, hey, Krishna and Darvika Girda, that's what I say. You know, I'm helpless. I don't know. I mean, I'm a stupid guy. So I'm completely depending on you. So please just, you know, I give myself here to you. That's the best thing I can do, I come to realize. And I anyway belong totally to you. So that's Saranagati, you know. That's what I've been talking a lot about this for the past few years. Because that's what it's all about. And when you do that, then you are okay, you're taken care of. You don't need astrological charts. You know, someone looking at this material nature Or, you know, some would then say, oh, but it's not just the material, but come on, it's the planets and it's the zodiac with the stars, and that's what you're looking at, right? Okay, but then you're looking deeper into the more subtle fabric. It's intuition, and I can see this, I can see that. And on others, they are sitting there saying they're in contact with superior beings on the other side, and then speaking, and we are supposed to listen to that. Now, thing is that they may be completely right. There may be an angel sitting there talking to that person, but the person may also just be, you know, doing a little too much of psychoactive herbs or whatever, and fantasize. So, whatever it is, astrology or this or that, for real or not, valid or not, helpful or not, I understand Prabhupada saying that, you know, we don't need that, we devotees. We're just depending on Krishna. And then I heard some astrologer say that, but I can also, in this chart, when I look at your life in there, I can also see that included. What happens between you and Krishna, what Krishna does. And wants to do. But you know, when you take that step and say such a thing, claim such a thing, then you're kind of yourself promoting yourself as basically a guru of others. You know, look here, I can look into even what God wants you to do. I can, what's going on, you know, I don't know how deep level they claim, but I heard something spoken along that line. And if I misunderstood that, then, you know, my relationship to God deep down there is going on beyond the workings of this material cosmos. Don't try to put that on me. And that you can see and know me on that level, because you don't know me. We maybe spoke personally to each other for a couple of hours in our lives. But if you want to know me and I want to know you, we do it by becoming friends and approaching each other that way. Friends for real that you can trust, and we can talk openly and just honestly and not being afraid or being betrayed or something like that, or judged. So yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to say there at one point. But I didn't. I'm saying it here, and you know, wherever the shoe fits, where it may, I'm not saying I'm right, it's just my point of view here and on this channel. But you know, I think I can see even another reason why we should be a bit careful about this astrology, is that, you know, as should be quite evident from what Vinas just said, this could be something that reveals maybe, maybe not, but it's possible, a kind of controlling spirit. Maybe it starts with, you know, I'm going to get into astrology so I can get control over my own life. And when I can also see everything on this, from this bigger, higher point level, well, there is of course a control feeling that appears then, isn't it? I'm someone, I'm a little bit, you know, I'm not tossed around here. So there could be psychological reasons. But some people, they are maybe actually afraid of actually, again, stepping in there and doing, putting one stone on the other and building their lives day by day and just being themselves and being okay with that and allowing others to be okay with themselves and having a good time and being Krishna conscious. So I mean, and allowing Krishna to lead us. So maybe there, you know, there may be hurt, trauma, and so on, all kinds of emotions, psychological things involved. And I will even take it one step further and say that because I'm a certified hypnotherapist and I had my own practice in Stockholm for years, professional, well, that's a fact, although I don't consider myself a very good hypnotherapist, but I learned a lot from it. And I saw that often people became, nowadays, at least at that time, therapists. They took up this whole thing in the middle of life, 40, 50 something, often after going through a crisis, often related to losing a job or relationship or both, you know, that kind of thing that not so uncommonly happens at that age. So a lot of pain, a lot of trashed life and traumas and this and that, which then also often, I claim that I've noticed, you know, if it's lasting, all this mental, emotional pain or imbalance or whatever, then that will, of course, tear on the physical, biological body too, and you can get physically sick too with these kind of mystical, I'm just wiped out all the time and no energy and no nothing and, what, are you depressed? Well, I don't know, no, I'm happy. You know, you start to dig into that and you find often even behind physical, chronic diseases, an emotional, psychological, I wouldn't only say factor, but cause in very many cases. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with. But and that's what's very nice. But what then often happened was that as that person got help from, you know, therapist, because that's what often happens then, or did, I guess it's still like that. You find a good therapist and that therapist helps you. And you're very grateful, of course. And then that therapist might also have or direct you to an education where you can, you know, where they offer, you know, we're talking scholarly level of training hypnotherapists. So then, of course, or whatever therapy we're talking about, because maybe it was hypnotherapy, which is of course good too. Oh, I got help from this, so now I also want to help others. But it might also be, again, I may be wrong here, that you yourself are doing this as part of your own process of, you know, dealing with yourself and your problems and all of that. And of course, the therapist is also going through a constant self-therapy, I would say, if it's a real one. But, and that's okay too, but it is possible. That's what I say. That you can also you know, by rather now being a professional, now I'm a healer, you know, I know this, and I'm helping others. This kind of gives one confirmation that no, I'm done, you know, I'm good, and I mean, I'm cured. It's not my problem anymore, but it's a problem of others. So, yeah. And if when I say that, someone thinks, well, who do you think you are? Are you talking about me, or what's your point here? No, I'm just basically speaking out of my own experience, and again, just adding this to my, not warning against, but my doubtfulness about the usefulness of this astrology. At least the, I mean, I think it's big, it used to be at least. So many people were into this, you know, they also get into spiritual things. And that is also, I think, a reason for doubting a bit. That when people get into this, especially for devotees, or Vaishnavas, or those who are really into spiritual life like that, that it can divert from the real thing and kind of slide into shall I do today and tomorrow with whom? Asking not God about it, but the astrologer, this the chart. So I don't know, and I may continue with this later.